Well, good morning, Bethel. It is a privilege to be here this morning with you, both here in person, so good to see you, and then also on the live stream. A warm welcome to you all on this, our last Sunday before the fall hits us. Schools reopening this week, our fall ministries restarting. It's going to be a busy week. God has been faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. Now, I was a teenager once, and many of you are in that same situation, and some of you here still are a teenager. But when I think back to that time in the church youth group that I was growing up in, I went to high school in North Bay, and I think of those that I volunteered with as an Awana leader, going to Camp ABK as a counselor or serving in another role. And you know, some of them, they haven't continued in the Christian faith. They may have totally rejected Christianity, living as though they believe that there is no God. Or they may describe themselves now as agnostic. And this means that they do have a belief that there is a God out there, but that we can't know for sure. Or they may still be going to a church, but there's really no evidence that they are living a Christian life other than attending on a Sunday. But there are also those who are continuing in their faith. By the grace of God, they are involved in a church, and it's evident that they are a Christian, that they're living and serving God. So there's a ministry called AXIS. It's AXIS. You can find this on the internet at axis.org. That's O-R-G. The mission of this ministry is to see the next generation develop lifelong faith by equipping parents and caring adults to have meaningful conversations with their kids. And so just recently, a new book called Engaging Your Teen's World by David Eaton. This is one of the founders of this ministry, AXIS. He wrote this near the beginning of the book. He said, "My heart breaks as I look back at my friends from high school. We went to church camp together, served on mission trips. We huddled around to pray and shared our faith." He said, "I still have a picture from a mission trip showing our team with our Bibles in hand, preaching the gospel on the street corner. Since then, many of my friends have been stripped threadbare by life. Many of them divorced, one of them dead, a lot of heartbreak, and three of them who are preaching in that picture with me are now atheists. Somehow the passion and zeal for Jesus didn't stick. They chucked their faith and went on with their lives. Now, the message of Jesus Christ has been spoken, given to us in God's Word, the Bible. But our problem is this: are we really listening? And the condition of our heart shows whether we have really heard the message. Because if we have really listened, then it would be evident in our lives that we would have enduring life transformation. So we're in this series, the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke in the Bible. We are wanting to learn more about Jesus and his mission. And so this morning, we'll look at a parable. This is a story that is used to teach. And Jesus told one of these in Luke chapter 8. And this parable is typically called the parable of the sower. Someone scattering seed, planting seeds in the hopes of harvesting a crop. But it's often said that this parable doesn't so much focus on the sower, but on the different types of soils. And so it's often called then the parable of the four soils. But I've given this message a different title this morning. It's this: Hey, Listen Up. Now, several of you would be familiar, very familiar with this parable. And isn't it easy to tune out when we're familiar with something? I would encourage you, hey, listen up. This is for you. If you think, I've heard this growing up in Sunday school so many times, I know this already, then this message is for you. Hey, listen up. But if this is new to you, if you've never heard the word parable or know what it's about, or you haven't heard about the different types of soil or what they have to do with anything, then this message is also for you. And I would say, hey, listen up. So if you have your Bible, and I trust that you do, turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verse 4 to start together. Verse 4, it will be on the screen as well, but I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bible. Verse 4 of Luke chapter 8 says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him," that's Jesus, "he," that is Jesus, "said in a parable." Now, the first point that I'd like to make this morning is this. Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks. There are so many voices in our world right now, aren't there? 24/7 news channel, YouTube videos constantly streaming. You can listen to music all day, probably for a long time, and never listen to all the songs. Netflix is on, Disney Plus, and the list goes on. So many voices. We can consume so much media that without knowing it, we don't realize that our minds, our hearts, and our lives can be shaped by the opinions and values of others rather than by Jesus. And now, hear me, I'm not saying that all media is bad. I certainly like some good entertainment from time to time, but we need to be aware of who is speaking. And so here we read in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus speaks. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, that means that all of the words recorded where Jesus is speaking, they're colored red. If you were to just casually flip through the Gospel of Luke, you would find that Jesus says a lot. So picture this. There is a crowd gathered. People from different towns were coming to him. It would be a larger crowd than what's in this room right now. There would be men and women, older and younger, couples, families with kids. There would be singles there. The religious, those who are curious, the broken, those who are self-righteous. There would be all different kinds of people coming in to see Jesus in this crowd. Now, Matthew's account of this same parable, in Matthew chapter 13, it says this: "That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down." Now, we don't have these details in Luke. Is it the same time? We don't know for sure. But it is safe to say that this crowd wasn't physically distancing. Jesus, though he had already offended the religious leaders, so the Pharisees, they were already planning how they could silence Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. Jesus was becoming popular. He had already performed some miracles. Crowds were drawn to him, and he continues to speak. This is to say that he continues to preach and to teach. So earlier, if you just look in Luke 8, verse 1, it says there that Jesus went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus continues to do this. And you don't need to take the time, but if you were to flip back to Luke chapter 4, there Jesus gives one of the reasons why he came. "Why did you come, Jesus?" This is what one thing that he would say. He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well," he said, "for I was sent for this purpose." So Jesus' mission was to bring the good news of the kingdom. But we do see a change in his teaching style. And so he begins to tell these parables. It says in Matthew 13:34, after Matthew records this account of the parable of the four soils, he says this: "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. He said nothing to them without a parable." Now, the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call these the Gospels. These are eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call the Synoptic Gospels. You can take that word today, the Synoptic Gospels. And this means that they have similar content. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're very similar parables. They mention a lot of the same miracles that Jesus performed. But the book of John is very different. So it's not included in that group. It has different accounts. It doesn't even mention a parable in there. So this parable of the four soils is in all three of those synoptic gospels. Similar gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have this parable, and there's very little difference between them, between those books and those accounts. So what is a parable? We often hear this definition that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story used to teach a spiritual truth. And Jesus told roughly 40 of these stories that are recorded for us. Maybe he told more of them. Everyday things and types of people that would be familiar to those listening were used in these stories. So things like seeds or fishing nets, fruit trees, animals, money, and other things. It would be easy to retell these kinds of stories, again, because they were so memorable, and they used familiar things that we had. But Jesus wasn't making truth easier to understand. He was telling these parables so that those who were prepared to listen carefully and search for their meaning, they were the ones who would understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Did you get that? Jesus wasn't just telling these stories just so that it's easier to understand what he's saying. For those who listen carefully, those are the ones who would understand. So pastor and author John MacArthur, he explains the parables in this way. He says, "Parables hid the truth from self-righteous or self-satisfied people who fancied themselves too sophisticated to learn from him, while the same parables revealed truth to eager souls with childlike faith, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness." This is why Jesus was speaking in parables. So let's read, continuing in Luke chapter 8, we'll read again verse 4, but if you got that in your Bibles, we'll start again, Luke chapter 8, and starting again at verse 4. "So when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable," this is what he said, "a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord. And Jesus speaks. But the question for us is, are you listening? Are you listening? Now, before we take a closer look at the parable itself, I want to point out these words that Jesus says at the end of verse 8. He calls out to the crowds. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, this sounds funny. Of course, if you have functioning ears, then you can hear, right? But aren't we good at this in certain situations? So the student going back to school, you know, when the teacher says it's time for recess, their ears are wide open and they're out the door. But when the teacher says, "Here's your homework assignment," then the next day, the student responds with, "Well, I didn't hear anything about homework." Or it's the husband with selective hearing. He hears when it's time to eat, but not when it's time to do something on the honey-do list. We all do this, but this is important because this is spiritual hearing. Who can understand what this parable means? Well, the disciples, they wanted to understand, and so they ask Jesus what it means. And we see these words again in verse 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Jesus here in those words is quoting from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The disciples were given the understanding. Jesus was their teachers. But for those who don't understand, this shows their unbelief. They're not able to understand even though they hear the words. So Jesus does tell this simple story. It's about a farmer spreading seed in the field. And perhaps a crowd listening there that day would have been able to look, if they're at the seaside, and see a farmer's field next to them, if they could see around the people that they were standing or sitting by. Now, some of that seed that the farmer scatters falls on the path. This is the first type of soil. And so in those times, there were footpaths along the fields. Travelers would have to walk along these footpaths. There were no fences to separate these fields from each other. And the soil here naturally would be hard-packed by people's feet walking on it. So any seed that would fall on this path could not go down into that hardened dirt because of the feet that were walking on that path. And then this would be easy pickings for the birds who were there. Now, the second soil is described as being on the rock. Now, some of the versions of the Bible may say that it's rocky soil. This isn't saying that there are rocks in it. Any good farmer would remove the rocks from the soil, but this is referring to a layer of rock may or may not be seen, but there would be a layer of soil over top of that rock. So the farmer may not realize that it is a shallow soil. You wouldn't necessarily be able to see the rock below, but when the plants grew up, the roots would have nowhere to go, and so there would be a lack of moisture, which causes them to shrivel up and die. So that's the second soil. Now, the third soil is this. It also looked good to start, but there were weeds in it, or some versions say thorns. These were already present in the soil, but not easily recognizable. But when the seed grew up, these thorns also grew up and smothered that plant. It didn't stand a chance. Now, you who are gardeners, you're likely harvesting things at this time of the year. You understand exactly what this parable is saying. It takes hard work to prepare those beds, to plant the seeds, to water the soil, to protect those plants, to take out the weeds. It just makes me tired just talking about this, about all of the work, and I don't garden at home. But then the harvest comes, and doesn't it make it all worth it, all of that effort that you've put into planting those seeds? And so the fourth soil is this good soil. It is soft. It's been prepared. It's been cultivated. It has good depth. It's ready for roots to go down deep. It's clean. There are no weeds present when the seeds have been planted. And here in this soil, that seed thrives and flourishes, and it brings an enormous harvest. So I say to you again, are you listening? Jesus is speaking. It takes effort to listen. Are you listening? And here's the last point. Your heart reveals how you listen. Your heart reveals how you listen. So Jesus would go on to explain at their request what this parable means. And we have the benefit now to be able to read what Jesus' explanation is. And Jesus reveals that this is about our hearts. So Jeremiah 17:9, this was the verse of the day this week, one of the days of this past week on the YouVersion Bible app, and it said this, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So without the transforming grace of God, we would still be lost in our rebellion, our sinfulness. We have wicked hearts apart from God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, even with the wicked hearts that we have inherited, that we've been born with, God made a way for our hearts to be right again. And how did he do this? This is by the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cruel cross, so that when we turn from our sinful ways and trust that what Jesus did on that cross was for us, then we can experience new life. Then we walk in obedience to what God has told us. We do this out of love and of thankfulness, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the issues of life. Whatever you do comes from your heart. And so this point again, your heart shows how you listen. The condition of your heart shows your response to the good news that Jesus spreads and speaks. And so again, we get this explanation from Jesus in verses 11 to 15, Jesus says that the seed is the word of God. So this is the message of the king and his kingdom. And what is that message? Again, Jesus will say later in this book of Luke, he said that he came to seek and to save the lost. So again, our hearts, our lives, we are lost before a holy God. And God wants to bring his people back into a right relationship with him. So the sower of this seed, the first and foremost sower is Jesus himself. But we also are those who can sow the seed. The seed sower is anyone who shares the message of the king. And we follow Jesus' example by sharing this message with others. Now this first soil, the path, this pictures a hard heart. They hear the message, but they don't respond. And it says that the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts before they believe. The truth is so close to this individual, but it will never sink in to the hard heart of this hearer. That's the first soil, a hard heart. Now, the second soil is described as a listener with a shallow heart. Jesus says that they receive the message with joy. Aren't we really encouraged when we see somebody responding to the message with joy? But here Jesus describes that they're enthusiastic, but there is no depth to their belief. They fall away because they have no root. It's a superficial response, and it's temporary. And after a while, time will tell that their response is not genuine belief in the Word of God, and they fall away. Now, the third soil is that of a distracted and worldly heart. They're overly concerned, or we would say that they're obsessed with the things of this world. Their heart is captivated by riches, by the pleasures of life. Those things are not wrong at all. But when our hearts get captivated and obsessed with the world, they hear the word of God, but they're unwilling to let go of the world. 1 John 2, the Apostle John, he wrote this, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There is no fruit, no crop, no evidence of real belief." And so we come to the fourth and final soil. This is an honest and good heart. It hears the word of God, holds on to it, perseveres, endures, and produces an abundant harvest. So this should encourage us as we share the good news. There will be hearts that do respond to the message that we share. And when they respond, they will persevere and they will grow fruit, showing that they truly believe. So even though as we share the gospel, there will be some who have hard hearts, some who have shallow hearts, some who have a worldly, distracted heart. But there will be hearts that are cultivated and prepared to receive the message. And our job is to speak for Jesus. Your heart reveals the way you listen. So I would say this morning, don't be judgmental towards someone else. Don't be thinking about someone else, oh, they must be this kind of soil. Examine your own heart. Look at your own life. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to the King speaking to you through his life-giving word? And so here are some practical ways that you can continue to hear Jesus speak. Read the Bible. Pick it up and read it. Make this a part of your daily routine. Again, we have so many voices in our world. In our world, we need to be hearing from our King Jesus. I would encourage you to continue to attend a church regularly where you can listen to the preaching of God's word from the Bible by trusted Bible teachers. Listen to podcasts, audiobooks from trusted Christian leaders, authors, and Bible teachers, or pick up a book as well. People still do that. Get together with a group of Christians with whom you can read the Bible or a good Christian book and be blessed as you mutually encourage one another together around God's word. Hear Jesus speak, because he speaks to us and he also speaks through us as we tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. So another thing is to think about, are we sowing the seed with our lives, with our words? The Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the church at Corinth, he said this, "I planted the seed in your hearts, and my friend Apollos, he watered it, but it was God who made it grow." Our responsibility as we share that seed, as we share the good news, we don't save people. That's God's work. So let's keep doing what we can do and let God do what only he can do. So we have this responsibility. Jesus is our example, and we don't have to do this alone. We can join with other Christians as we tell the good news to a hurting and broken world that we live in. And as the seed is scattered on the soil of your heart, make sure that you listen. Has it taken root in the good soil of your heart, and is it producing fruit? fruit? Is there evidence in your life that you believe in Jesus? We're not super Christians. None of us are. And we don't get that way overnight. You know, you don't get a big pumpkin or big watermelon the next day. Again, I'm not a gardener, but I know this much. You don't get that big pumpkin the next day after you plant the seed. It takes time. There is, though, a steady growth in the Lord as we turn from our sin, as we trust in Jesus to save us, and we walk in obedience with the Lord. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says this, "As you received Christ the Lord, so you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." All of us need to be honest about the condition of our hearts. And by God's grace, I want to say he can plow and cultivate your heart into soil that does receive the word of God. Your heart can change. You are not stuck in unbelief. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge, a man can change. If your heart is not open to receiving the word of God, then what you need to do is pray to God, plead with him to plow your heart. Those of us here on a Sunday morning who preach, we can scatter the seed, but we can't plow your heart. Only God does that. That's the work of God. Anyone with ears to hear, let him listen and understand. So I say to you this morning, hey, listen up. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are the one who has given us ears to hear. You are the creator of all, and you've given us ears. And so for the majority of us, we can hear the spoken word, or we can understand things that are spoken to us. Thank you for that. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that those who have heard this word out of the Bible this morning, that you would help them to listen and understand what they've heard. Father, this is your work to take the word of God and to transform and bring people into your family. Father, so thank you for this Bethel family. Father, as we continue through this different time that we're in, that we would encourage each other, that we would be speaking the truth of God's word to each other, and also for those who haven't received the message, that they haven't had that seed take root in their hearts and lives, Father. I pray that you would give us boldness, you would give us courage to speak that truth to a hurting and broken world, to those people that you have placed around us. Father, you are a good God. Thank you that we're able to gather here in this place and also on the live stream. And Father, I would ask that over the coming weeks that you would bring people out into the ministries of Bethel to be encouraged in their faith, and also for those, again, who have never heard. May that seed fall on good soil for your glory and for the good of your people. Thank you that we can worship you, and as we do that shortly, both by remembering what you have done for us in the time of sharing communion, we remember what Jesus did on the cross, and also as we share a couple of songs, may you draw our hearts to you, Father. We're so thankful that we're part of your family, and would you bless us in Jesus' name, amen.